You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hey, Josh, what are you listening to?
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh, sorry, I didn't mean to bother you.
No, it's the name of the song.
Oh, well, what's that from?
Hey!
Hello! Welcome back to another episode of What's That From? Exploring musicals we don't know, but probably should. I'm Kate.
And I'm Josh. And this week we're exploring the musical Lysistrata Jones.
Episode 21.
21. Over the hill.
March Madness. Oh, this show.
This one. Oh, this is perfect for March Madness.
I know! That's why I picked it.
Oh, I see what you did there. I was like
looking up, musicals that have to do with basketball. Because I will say I was pretty into watching basketball this last weekend, which is like, what? There must be nothing else on. But, as you know, good old Syracuse, which actually is in this musical, which is funny. Syracuse, like, the ancient town. Right. But, anyway, was watching March Madness, inspired this little event.
Oh, awesome.
And now we're here.
Now we're here, and we are ballin'.
Ball is life. Oh, on that note, Josh, I think it's your turn for the 30-second plot challenge.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think it is, too. All right, I'm watching the clock, so ready, and go.
So this musical is a modern retelling of the classic Greek comedy Lysistrata, where Lysistrata is like trying to stop this war or trying to end the war by like having all the women in their place, like withhold sex from the warriors. So in this version, Lysistrata Jones is having all her cheerleader friends withhold sex from the basketball team until they finally win a match because they haven't won in like 30 years. And they do it, and the boys get mad at them, and the girls are like, sorry, too bad, you need to win. And then they win.
30 seconds.
Am I wrong or am I right?
I feel like we could end the podcast here. Like our first like 3-minute long episode. Like that's simply the whole plot.
I think that's the best 30-second plot challenge I've ever done. And I think the show gave it to me because it was easy.
I would say that every synopsis that you read online is simply that 30-second plot challenge.
Yeah.
Nobody touches the characters. People are like, there are other people in this show. No, we just need the overarching theme. I will say, though, I did manage to get my hands on a good old script of Lysistrata Jones, which book by Douglas Carter Bean. And it was a doozy.
It's a rough one.
Yeah.
Maybe like a little bit offensive, kind of like written in like a black scent, but like not for like people of color, like just like,
no,
yeah, it's
yes,
just like on like borderline over the border offensive, maybe.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think like if it was, I don't think they could do a revival of this today, yeah. Unless they like really rewrote a lot of it, because there also was just like some other, yeah, there was just some parts in it where I was like, whoa, you guys were really in 2011. You had no concept of what was going on. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I was like, I did not know that 2011 was not a woke year for.
Yeah.
But don't worry. This musical did get nominated for only one Tony Award, and it was Best Book. So,
so I don't know what everybody was on that year, but they loved it.
Yeah. But he also did write, like, he rewrote the book for, like, Cinderella that was on Broadway in 2013.
And that was great, and that was, like, a very woke, like, version of it where she saves the prince. So, like, maybe he learned.
Yeah, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
True.
He also wrote the 2011 book for Sister Act and Xanadu.
Oh, fierce.
But, I don't know. I just think this show for all you listeners out there is very like Bring It On meets like
it's very like
Carrie.
It's very, yeah, it's, but it's, for me it was like feels very much She's the Man. Because it's like how She's the Man is supposed to be like an old Shakespeare play turned into like a modern thing that everybody can relate to. Like it feels like that because it's Lysistrata turned into Lysistrata Jones. But right. The thing about She's the Man really works. And this to me didn't really work. I won't lie though. Like the music, I enjoyed some of it. Like I thought some of the music was super fun. Like most of the music I thought was super fun. I think like it just feels like I'm like all for a good like musical comedy that is like light and fluffy and entertaining. But I kind of like finished it and was like, okay. Like I don't really know if I feel any different after experiencing this musical. Do you know what I mean? Like
yes, I agree. I just think it's very like
thin.
Very thin. It's like not super like yeah, I feel like it's from start to finish you just kind of feel the same. Like you're kind of just like, all right, like that happened. Nice. It just is, it's exactly what like you think is gonna happen. Like from the very beginning when they're like, our basketball team's losing, you know that they're gonna like the girls are gonna come together and do something to make them like not lose.
Right. And like Lissy, is it Lissy? Does she go by? Because I know it's spelled like her nickname is spelled Lissy, but is it pronounced Lizzie or Lissy? Because
it's like Lysistrata.
I would prefer to call her Lizzie than I would Lissy.
Yeah, but I feel like Lissy is like her. Like that's more like Lysistrata shortened, like Lissy.
Right.
Which is played by Patty Murin, which Queen
Bleed Orange.
Bleed Orange again. Sorry for all the Syracuse plugs. We are not sponsored by Syracuse, but yeah, so Patty Murin played like Lysistrata in the Broadway production. She sounds great.
Sounds great.
On the recording.
And the videos? She's a great dancer.
Yeah. She's
cute. She was nominated for the Fred Astaire Award for like best female dancer at a Broadway show. Yeah, no, I was watching the videos and I was like, oh wow, she's like a really good dancer.
Yeah.
The dancing was really fun in all the videos I saw too. Like I think that was like an aspect of it is like visual, not just substance. Like it's more of like an experience, I feel like.
Yes. I also think like I don't know. I think that I read a thing too that this show got a lot of like off-Broadway or in smaller venues like got a lot of hype. And I think it would be kind of like a more like off-Broadway or like something in a smaller space that's more just like a quirky, like funny show you go and see, like not like on a big Broadway scale.
Right. It's like it's a quirky little show, not like a big, bold Broadway show.
I agree. I also just think, what is like Broadway's fascination with shows that are always about like cheerleaders and basketball teams?
Yeah.
I just feel like I also like the show. I don't know if you know the show, Gotta Dance. It didn't ever, I don't think, now it's called Halftime.
Yeah, I know of it. Yeah.
But I saw that when it was in Chicago a while ago, quite a few years ago. And that it also just gives me, they all give me the same vibe. Like in my brain, they're all just like a bunch of like plucky young girls that are cheerleader dancer people trying to like rouse the spirits of like a bunch of other right. people.
And like I was watching the videos of this and they were dancing with the basketballs and I was like, you know what, like it's tough, like High School Musical does it better. Like I would rather watch Get Your Head in the Game. And I know it sounds really cheesy and like I don't mean to like stifle anybody's like artistic vision with like trying to use basketballs in a dance or anything. Not to say like nobody can do it ever again because High School Musical did it, but like it's really hard to break like what lives in people's minds rent free like High School Musical does. And watching rent that free. I was like, this like doesn't top it. And like if you're gonna do it, like you either gotta beat it or embrace it. And it felt like they were trying to just do the same thing to me, at least in, like,
I totally agree.
The visual aspect of it, it just felt like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think like and to kind of like go back to the plot to like fill a little bit of the, like, Josh, you did an incredible job with the 3-second plot challenge. There's not that much else to add to it, but it is just kind of like Lysistrata's this new student at this Athens college. University.
Yeah.
Which is like, they're making these like Greek references left and right. Like,
yeah.
And so,
and like, if you didn't know it was based off of Lysistrata, like, you would know in the first 10 minutes because it's what they talk about a lot. And it's not even like She's the Man, where, like, they never talk about, what is it, Twelfth Night is what it's based off of?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they never talk about that in the movie at all. You just, like, know it's based off of it, or you find out after, which is, like, a cool, oh, I didn't know it was based off of that. Right. Here they, like, really shove it in your face. Like, it's, well, like, part of the plot.
It is. And yeah. She also, like, the reason that she gets this idea is she gets there, the basketball team's lost for 30 years. They just accept losing, and she's like, I don't want to be at a losing school. So then she, she decides that she's going to start this cheerleading team to try to, like, hype them up. They do the cheerleading team, they still lose, and she's like, well, that didn't work. So then in class, she has to read Lysistrata, and then she reads it, and she's like, wait, my name's Lysistrata, conveniently, and this woman withheld sex from these, like, war soldiers, and then they won the war, so maybe we should, like, I think they say, like, give it up is, like, the term they use, like, maybe we shouldn't give it up to, like, the basketball team until they win a game. And then they go to, like, a whorehouse, and there's a whole, like, whorehouse side plot with, like, a really empowering, like, head of the whorehouse who's like, you need to, like, stick it to, like, the people that tell you that you can't do things. There's, like, a whole side thing with that, and then the basketball team keeps losing, and they get all butthurt about it, and it's just a bunch of chaos ensues until eventually, like, inevitably, I want to call Patty Murin.
But yeah, no, Patty. Yeah, Lissy. She meets a nerdy guy, like, in a library, and then, like, she kind of starts to catch feelings for him because her boyfriend's being, like,
he's on the basketball team. He's just, like, the worst.
Yeah, he's just, like, one of those guys.
Yeah, and so then, but then all the basketball team players, like, break up with their girlfriends in, like, rebuttal to this, and then she ends up, like, kind of, like, hooking up with this other guy who's, like, not on the basketball team, so, like, free range. Like, she couldn't give it up to him, but, right. Like, they end up, and her boyfriend who broke up with her also ends up falling for, like, a girl who's involved in this plot, too, that's not really, like,
relevant.
Yeah, so they break up, and then, like, they both find separate, like, really good matches, I guess, with people that you wouldn't suspect them to be with. So they figure that out through the through the quirky series of events. And then finally, like, Lysistrata's like, I want to give up. Everyone hates me because the girls are mad because all their boyfriends broke up with them. And, like, the girls are mad because we keep losing. And, like, now the boys, like, she's like, I don't want to be here anymore. And then they're like, no, come on. Like, you just got to hold on. Like, you can do it. Like, whatever. And then she does, and then they win.
And then they're like, yay.
And then they're like, everyone give it up.
I just think, like, it might have been a little more impactful if it wasn't so in your face, on the nose, like, what this is inspired by. Like, what if her name wasn't Lysistrata and they just happened to be reading it? She's like, oh, I have this great idea. Or she just gets the idea on her own without it being on the nose inspired by the source material. I just think it could have been a little more subtle and, like, genuine that way. This feels so cheesy that they, like, really rub it in your face.
Yes.
I get that, like, maybe they were, like, worried the audience wouldn't know the story of Lysistrata, but, like,
that's true.
But, like, is it,
I agree. I think it is really a little too.
Is it really about honoring, like, Aristophanes' Lysistrata? Is that really the point of this show? You know what I mean? Like, what is the point of it?
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think it would have been more successful if it was subtle.
I agree. Also, because it is just so in your face the whole time. Like, as if her being named Lysistrata wasn't enough, they go to Athens University, like,
it just feels like a little, like, it just makes everything else not seem genuine to me because that feels so cheesy.
I agree. Yeah, but the thing, and like I said, like, read the script, was, like, a little confused, but even in, like, reading the, like, reviews like of the show, it was like received pretty well. I mean, it did not run very long. Like, granted, it really only ran like 30 performances.
But I think it was like a fun show. Yeah.
Yeah, people were like here's, I'm reading a review from David Sheward in Backstage. He said that each of the characters starts out as a broad stereotype, just as Aristophanes' figures are, but Bean turns the cultural expectations inside out, creating complex people with a comic context.
Hmm.
Maybe you had to be there. You know what I mean? Like, reading it, I will be honest, like, I couldn't imagine real people saying these things and, like, not being like, whoa, this is really offensive.
Right, maybe it was just, like, directed really well.
Yeah. And, like, you know? Ben Brantley said that the production that opened on Broadway Wednesday night at the Walter Kerr Theater warrants not only sighs of relief, but only at least a few lusty cheers. So maybe, like, you had to be there. I feel like the energy would be incredible. And I think the thing about Liz Estrada Jones that we haven't touched on, I think, is that, like, yes, Patty Murin is Patty Murin now, and, like, the people in the show, like, have gone on to have other careers, but I think this was a lot of people's, like, launching off point. I don't think a lot of these people had, like, Andrew Rannells was in, like, the Dallas Theater Center production. Like, I feel like there's
And also
there's
Jason Tam was in this, and he was in A Chorus Line. He played Paul.
And Alex Wise.
Yeah, pretty fierce.
I just think that there's, like, quite a few people in it that the reason the show didn't really get a lot of things is that the people were not, well, they had, like, no stars in it. It was a starless musical. And so I bet the energy was really great because all these people did have something to prove. They were all, like, new. None of them are, like, oh, Broadway veteran Patty Murin that she is now.
Right.
It was making her Broadway debut, or I don't know if this was exactly her Broadway debut, but no. I think it definitely was. Yeah.
I think so.
No, it was.
It says she was in Xanadu as a swing and a replacement.
Okay.
Yeah. Before that. And then let's start. But this was her first, like, I mean, like, lead
She, like,
role.
Originated the role. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty epic.
So, I think that I can imagine that the like, energy was probably great. That the people really were bringing, like, everything that they had to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's fun.
Yeah,
it's super fun. I think it's fun. I think if you went in and you were just like, well, here's a night of just, like, silly theater.
Yeah, I'd love to see a production of that. I know, like, Shenandoah just did it a few years ago. I don't think it's a show that gets done very often, like, probably mostly by colleges only. But, yeah, I mean, it's, like, a fun contemporary musical if, like, your school is looking for this. Like, it has a bunch of parts for people. It's all college kids, so it's great for colleges to do.
True.
And, like I said, like, it is, like, good material to be, like, I guess, working on while you're in school to just, like, be singing contemporary music, playing, like, a wacky character or roles or... Yeah, I feel like
it would be
good academic material.
I think so, too. And super high energy, lots of dance numbers.
Yeah.
I just think that you could, like, and this show, like, I think although there are shows similar to this that do it better, I think that, like, once you, like, if you can do this show, like, you can move on to do Legally Blonde. You can move on to do Bring It On. You can, like, there are other shows, like, I don't know, I feel like this falls into a really good category that's also kind of, like, the sweet spot of right now. Like, Mean Girls, The Prom, like, they all kind of have this, like, high-energy, plucky, like, thing going for them.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to see if the script has any rewrites, because I think it would be a little problematic.
Yeah, definitely. But they did announce that they were trying to make it into a movie. So okay. I would be interested if that comes through. And you know what's funny is the person who is supposed to be developing and directing it is the person who did She's the Man. So obviously they were feeling that energy.
Yeah.
Which I would be interested to see how they do it then.
And I really do think, like, the concept is really good. I think you're so right now that I'm thinking about it. if it wasn't so obviously Lysistrata Jones, if it was just like a girl at a college who was like, this is a great idea, we're reading this, like, why don't we apply it? And then you watch it kind of like ensue. I think that would have been a little more compelling. It just felt a little like, look what we did. Like, we made a musical about this ancient play.
Yeah, it's just like a little in your face. Just like a,
Yeah. But I do think I do think conceptually, like, it is, that is a cool concept. And like, it's very funny. Inevitably, I think you could have a lot of, it's a funny concept. Like, oh, the basketball team has been losing for 30 years. Let's like not have sex with them and see if they win. Like, that's funny. Inevitably, like, that's going to be funny. And the different couples are all really quirky and they have their own little like rapport. And there's different, like, I don't know. There is like a lot of opportunity, I think. And I think maybe, done well. And it seems as if this production was done well. It could be like in the right hands. I think it could be like really, really fun and really like,
yeah, I was listening to it like, oh, this would be fun to be in. Yeah, that'd be so fun to be in.
I agree.
What was your favorite song?
My favorite song was Hold On.
Mm-hmm.
Our opening joke song. I also just like the Xander character. I just think he's like so silly and cute and like so awkward.
Hold on's definitely my favorite, along with Laylo. I really liked Laylo, like the voice number.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
I thought that was fun. Which surprised me because usually I don't really like the voice numbers in musicals, but I liked it in this one.
No, I also and then I also think like When She Smiles is a good song, but I've heard it too many times.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, to me, I just feel like that's the one song people like sing from this or know from this, which honestly now it's the What's That From song. Like, it's the one where I'm like, oh, what's that from? I never knew it was from this.
Right.
But I was like, oh, I've heard this before. But I really liked Hold On.
Yeah, me too.
The power ballads were funny too.
Yeah.
Like the like Lysistrata like power ballads. I was like, yes.
I kind of wanted her to have like another song of her own.
Me too.
I finished it and I was like, oh, like I kind of wanted more from her.
She sounds so good.
Yeah, she does. I mean, that's kind of why I wanted more. I was like, oh, I want to hear her sing more.
Yeah.
What would you rate it? Oh, sorry.
I would rate it probably like a 5.
Yeah.
I give it like a 5. If you threw some energy at it, I would really like bump it up. Like if I saw a production and like the people were really out here like giving it their all, I'm sure it would rate higher in my brain.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just didn't feel that affected after in a good or bad way. So 5 is good because it's in the middle. Like I just felt like neutral about it. I was like, okay.
And it's not like I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to live the rest of my life despising the show and tearing it from its limb. I did not hate it. I did not hate it. And like, will I probably listen to it? Like the music is really fun and energetic. And I think like, if you're like me and you like to listen to musicals while you're exercising, not me exposing myself for doing that, but I do like to like run and listen to show tunes, and this would be a fun one to run to, I think.
Yeah.
It's very high energy, pumps you up, gets you excited.
And that's what it is. It's sports. It's basketball. It's like that kind of vibe. So it's like,
it's March Madness. It's
it's Lysistrata Jones.
It's giving you dribble, dribble, pass. It's giving you dunk. Yeah, so I really, you know what, for what this serves in the current time, it being March Madness, being like basketball time, I think like, yay, a basketball musical, so fun. But, you know, I just think like it'd be a one you could just like, you could know, you could listen to and appreciate. But, like it might not, maybe it will be your favorite. But it might not be. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah. But I definitely would give it a listen.
I don't think you should discredit it.
And I think the album, of all of the aspects of it, the album is really fun.
Yeah, it is.
The music is like really, really fun.
It's a good cast recording.
And check out some of the videos because they're also really high energy.
Yeah, I really like the choreography.
Super exciting.
Well, I think that is the game. Is that what they say at the end of basketball games?
And that's the game.
Okay, everybody, we'll see you next week.
We'll see. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at WTF_BWay. That's WTF_BWAY. We post updates every Monday and Wednesday. And be sure to watch the basketball games this weekend and stay updated with March Madness if you're into that. But if not, listen to Lysistron Jones.
Or do both.
Or listen to it while watching the game.
Mute the game. Play the soundtrack. You'll basically be watching Alyssa Strada Jones.
Boom. Done.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.